The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a blockbuster. Harden dealt the sport turned upside down. Is it the best or the worst deal we've seen in years? Ben, the clock is ticking on Big Ben, and it is not just father time. The Steelers speak about the future. You'll hear what they say about their quarterback. And then the Bears owner makes a decision. Then he explains it and just makes everything much, much worse. We'll talk about all that and a whole lot more as we get up with you, starting right now on a Thursday from the Seaport. Greeny here, and we are jam-packed, and our regular football crew is ready to go as we bear down on divisional weekend, and they are looking good today. Dominique is ready to go. Damian Woody's going to play that piano today if it's the last thing we do. Shefty's breaking news left and right. Lewis Riddick is ready this morning, but that is not where we begin. We begin with the blockbuster trade from the NBA. The Rockets sending James Harden to the Nets in a four-team deal, completing the unhappy star's exit from Houston and setting up a potential super team in Brooklyn. All of this yesterday, according to R. Woj and Ramona Shelburne. Here's the breakdown of the whole trade. Harden lands with the Nets, obviously. The Rockets get a package that includes Victor Oladipo, four first-round picks, and four first-round swaps. The general consensus was they did very well here. Indiana, meanwhile, gets Caris LeVert. Cleveland gets Jared Allen and Torian Prince. And so jam-packed it is. And let's bring in the man himself. That's Adrian Wojnarowski. And so, Woj, you were with me here yesterday after Harden sounded off after that loss to the Lakers. How did we get from where they were then to Harden being a part now of this super team in Brooklyn?
Greeny, when James Harden talked after that loss to the Lakers two nights ago, he did so knowing that talks had escalated between the Rockets and both the Brooklyn Nets and the Philadelphia 76ers. And what you saw Harden do was try to orchestrate from his end, kind of give a little bit of a push to the Rockets organization to get the deal done, get a trade completed. And they were pretty far down the line with Brooklyn as of that moment. And I think once Brooklyn's owner, Joe Tsai, got fully on board, understood what this trade package would mean for his organization, and they had Cleveland on board as part of a three-way, then the deal got done yesterday. Although, Philadelphia was very much in the bidding for James Harden, but ultimately the Nets did not want to be denied. They really wanted James Harden and felt like they needed James Harden, especially because of the uncertainty that surrounds Kyrie Irving and their organization right now.
Right. Well, so that's the obvious place to go next. People will view this as a super team because they have the three superstars, but at least for the moment, they only have the two. They have KD and James Harden. What, if anything, should we expect this to do to the Kyrie Irving situation?
It gives the Nets leverage on Kyrie Irving and in his future in Brooklyn, because now because ultimately what this is about for the Nets is the future of Kevin Durant. And free agency comes up quickly again, at the end of next season. All three of these players could be free agents, but most importantly for the Nets, Kevin Durant. And they've got to know that they're going to be able to be in position to re-sign him and have at least one significant running mate moving forward with him. And James Harden allows them to have that. These two players really hatched the idea of getting Harden to the Nets in the offseason when they were working out in L.A. And while I think the immediate expectation is that Kyrie Irving is going to be a part of this, that he will return here at some point, Brooklyn now knows that they have James Harden and much more certainty with him and partnering with Kevin Durant. And we'll see what this means for Kyrie's future with the Nets.
Doesn't seem it's going to be any time, especially soon either way. Woj, outstanding, as always. Thank you. Let me bring in the big fella. Kendrick Perkins is ready to go this morning. Perk, what was your very first reaction when you saw the news yesterday? Woj breaking it on Twitter. What was your very first reaction when you saw the deal?
Man, that Sean Marks and the Brooklyn organization was like, hold on, we already filed a missing person report on Kyrie Irving, and we haven't heard from him. So let's call Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and get us some insurance in James Harden. And that's why they traded for him, Greeny, because they don't know what's going on in Kyrie Irving's head. No one knows. Here it is. We're not even 15 games in the season, and no one can find him. And he's already left the team and already is being a distraction. So looking at this right now, you're adding James Harden. This is the problem that I have with this team now that they added James Harden is that Kevin Durant is going to be the Batman. James Harden is going to be the Robin. Can Kyrie Irving handle being Alfred? And I don't know that. So this is an insurance policy to say, you know what? We don't know what to expect from Kyrie Irving down the line, but here we go. We got us another superstar, an MVP-type player to pal along with Kevin Durant just in case Kyrie Irving decides to pull the MIA act again.
So let's live in a world, though, where the three of them are on the same team. At some point here, I think we could assume that the three of them will play together. You were a part of a super team in Boston. Some might say the first super team with Paul Pierce and Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett. So you've seen how those pieces fit together. How would you envision these three pieces fitting together?
Well, you know, Greeny, think about it, right? They're going to have so much offensive power. The word that comes to mind is sacrifice, and that's going to come on Steve Nash. Are those guys going to respect Steve Nash and when he identifies their role? Like I said, KD being the Batman, James Harden being the Robin, and Kyrie being the Alfred. And then when you look at it on the defensive end, Greeny, no team has won a championship without being top five in the defensively. Even the Golden State Warriors, when KD joined them, they were top three in the league defensively. So sacrifice and defense is what my concern is about this team when those three step on the court, if they step on the court together.
Yeah. One other very quick thing I want to ask you about, because I love your Twitter feed, and you had a very interesting tweet last night that I want to share with everyone who did not get a chance to see it. Let's put that up if we can. You tweeted, I don't need to be convinced that Bron is the GOAT. It's stamped. But if this Nets team can make it out of the East and Bron takes care of them, he's the undisputed GOAT. Beating two super teams today is greater than 6-0 in the 90s. Carry on. That's what you said last night. Give me a quick thought on that. Big Perk.
Because, Greeny, I knew you was watching. I know you was watching. Stephen A. was watching. That was for Jalen Rose, and that was for all the old heads. Because if the Nets get past the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers and they meet up with the Lakers in the finals, I don't want to hear nothing about the GOAT conversation no more from none of you guys, okay? I love you, Greeny, but I don't want to hear it after that.
Well, look, if he beats Batman and Robin and Alfred, then I guess I'll have to agree. Well done. Great to see you, Big Perk. I appreciate it. His Twitter feed is awesome. Meanwhile, my Twitter feed has today's poll question. Right now, you can go to @ESPNGreeny and answer this question. After the big trade yesterday, who you got winning the East? It's that simple. Nets, Sixers, Bucks, Celtics, cast your vote. We'll keep it up through the radio show today, headed towards noon, and much more on this big deal as we continue this morning. Malika Andrews will join me here in less than a half hour. Richard Jefferson today, Stephen A. with his reaction today, all that and more on the way. Meanwhile, to the football. And last Sunday, the Browns shocked the Steelers in the wild card round, a game in which Ben Roethlisberger threw four interceptions. And the big question now is, will the soon-to-be 39-year-old quarterback be back in Pittsburgh next year? Mike Tomlin was asked that yesterday.
In terms of the quality of his play and our play, we'll begin to assess that in the upcoming days. But in terms of him responding to the challenges that he specifically came into the season ready to face, spectacular. I don't have a clear assessment of the overall impact of the cap ramifications, so I might not have a direct answer to your question, but I think it's reasonable to assume that there's a chance that he's going to be back, certainly.
Well, to be clear, when he talks about the cap ramifications, that's the number he's talking about. As of right now, Ben Roethlisberger's cap number for next year is something like $41.3 million. So clearly that's something they'll have to work on. And so as I bring this out and we talk about it, let's start with Adam Schefter. Because Schefter, I feel like every time we've brought this up in recent weeks, you've made it pretty clear You've made it pretty clear that sorry, you got me with that. You made it pretty clear that you believe Roethlisberger and the Steelers can figure out the money piece of this, yes?
Well, they have to. They have to do something to address that portion of the deal because, again, as of a few weeks ago, Ben Roethlisberger intended and wanted to come back and play in 2021. Now, he did not look like that was the case on Sunday night. At the end of the game, you saw him and Maurkice Pouncey sitting on the bench almost taking it in as if it could be their last game. But if Ben Roethlisberger does want to come back as he had wanted to, at that point in time, they're going to have to address that salary cap situation and figure out how they can make it work. The problem is, if you extend it, do you want to extend it when he may be playing only one more year? We're seeing quarterbacks in his draft class, again, see their careers come to an end. Eli Manning's already retired. There are questions about Philip Rivers at this point in time. Plus, Ben Roethlisberger's performance seemed to drop off as the season went on, though he wasn't helped by the fact that they didn't have a run game. They have to address it one way or another. It starts with that salary cap, and I guess it starts really with whether Ben wants to play, but the sense has been all along that this would not be, and he didn't want it to be, his last season.
So, Lewis Riddick, let me come to you then on this thought. Some might look at it and say, it is time, looking at the way their season ended, for the Steelers to figure out what their next quarterback situation is going to be. Do you believe the time has come to do that?
Yeah, I think you have to prepare past 2021. You just can't look at 2021 in a box and go, well, look this year as far as will Ben take a pay cut? Do we extend his contract, convert some of his money to signing bonus money, and again, wind up having to face these cap ramifications down the road? I don't think you can do that. I think you definitely have to start looking 2, 3, 4 years down the road and figuring out, look, we probably don't have our quarterback of the future on the roster. Our present quarterback is going to be 39 on March the 2nd. We better come up with a long-term plan here because unless we really fortify this offensive line, make the run game a more critical part of this offense, and give him some help from a run-pass balance standpoint, we're going to be in trouble here. And that's not to be disrespectful to Ben. That's just being honest about the situation. So there's a lot of different angles that they have to look at this situation from. And first and foremost, though, is making sure you get this contract squared away because right now it's just untenable. You can't have him on the roster at that number.
But, Nick, assuming they can figure out the money in a way that works for everybody, would you be in favor, if you were the coach or you were making this decision, of saying it's been an unbelievable run for Ben Roethlisberger, but the time has come to figure out the next quarterback?
Absolutely not. I mean, given that organization, that's not the way that they function. They want to give their team the best chance to win that they can every year. You saw that last year when Ben got hurt and they had a first-round pick, and rather than waiting to draft a quarterback with it, they traded it away to get Minkah Fitzpatrick and to make a run to go 8-8. And I respect that about that organization. That's part of the reason why they're never bad is because of that type of mindset. And I wouldn't throw that out the window right now just because you're panicking. I think you try to bring Ben back, and also maybe you look into free agency or you look into the trade market. Because of that established culture in Pittsburgh, I think that would be an attractive place for all the quarterbacks that may be available this offseason. And you're right, what Lewis said, they haven't really found an established replacement for Ben in the draft. So maybe they need to go back and do that also this year. They need to really attack this position with all their assets going forward, including a reduced salary Ben Roethlisberger.
I'm always interested in these when you have the aging legend, how you handle, you know, as graceful an exit as you can under the circumstances. We'll see that will go. Meanwhile, Shefty, as you continue to work the sources there, let me come to you and let's run the hurry up through a bunch of stories around the league right now. And let's begin with the Rams and their quarterback situation for the playoff game at Lambeau Field. What's the latest?
Well, look, Rudy, John Wolford hasn't taken any snaps during practice this week. And it's Thursday, but in the NFL world, it's really Friday because these teams play Saturday. And so if John Wolford hasn't taken any snaps, that would seem to indicate that Jared Goff is on track to start Saturday's game. Now, the question is, will the Rams use Wolford? Do they want to try to bring him back at some portion of the game? He brings a certain different element to that offense, and we'll see how that plays out here in the next 48 hours. As for the Chiefs offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, who got interviews with every team with a head coaching vacancy except for the Houston Texans, right now, it doesn't look like he's on track to get one. We'll see how this shakes out, but in speaking to people around the league, they don't sound overly optimistic that Bieniemy is going to come out of this cycle with a job. If he doesn't, that's going to be troubling for a lot of people. A lot of people still pulling for him to get a job. We'll see whether one works out for him. And, of course, everybody's always waiting on Urban Meyer. And, again, we'll see how that shakes out. But it seems like he's been in discussions with Jacksonville at this point in time. Everybody's waiting for a decision. I think Jacksonville is doing a thorough search right now, a process on Urban Meyer. But I would think that we get a decision this week at this point in time, Greeny.
Yeah, this, usually these things come a little quicker than they have so far this year. A lot of extenuating circumstances with the pandemic, et cetera. So we'll see when these things start to fall. Meanwhile, looking ahead to this weekend's games, certainly the most interesting one, or among the most interesting storylines, is these two legends going head to head, right? Buccaneers getting their third shot at the Saints this season. They dropped their first two meetings by a combined 46 points. Sunday's showdown in New Orleans will likely be the last time that Drew Brees and Tom Brady face each other, and that is something.
Tom and I have a friendship and a mutual respect. We were texting back and forth on Monday, just kind of chuckling at this, you know, this whole scenario. Listen, he's 43. I turned 42 on Friday. So that's 85 years and a lot of football experience that's going to be on the field on Sunday. When Tom Brady signed with the Bucs and I knew that he was coming to our division, I envisioned this game. You know, so what was that, 9 months ago, 8 months ago? I envision this game happening.
Oh, Dominique, what do you think? They're texting each other on Monday. The respect is out there between the two. What is your reaction?
He envisioned this game. He envisioned Tom Brady on the sideline with his helmet on and one tear streaming down his face like Ben Roethlisberger because he destroyed him. Like, that all sounds good. Tom Brady and Drew Brees, they know the game. They've been quarterbacks a long time. They tell us what we want to hear. But I can tell you, and we all understand the truth, those guys are incredible competitors, and they may love and respect one another, but they want to destroy one another right now. And that call on Monday was full of a lot of subtext. That those text messages that they were sending was like, good luck, but really in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I hope something goes terribly wrong for you this week of practice or in the game.
What do you think, D Wood?
Well, listen, we all know the last matchup was November 8th, okay? That's over 2 months ago. Yes, I know the Saints got the Bucs number, but this is a different Bucs team this time around. We all know that Tom Brady is a completely different player, over the past couple months. Antonio Brown has been a lot more productive. All the other weapons have been more comfortable. But I'm going to say the biggest improvement I've seen is up front along the offensive line. Since that last Saints matchup, Tom Brady's only been hit 16 times in 8 games. If they can block up that Saints front, they will prosper. That's the key. Block up the Saints front, they will prosper.
So leave it to the offensive linemen to tell us the offensive line is the most important part. But it does make sense. And Lewis Riddick, let me come to you on that thought, because we had sort of two different schools of looking at this. Since their bye, the Buccaneers, 5 games, have looked like an entirely different team. But they've done it against less than outstanding competition. Even their playoff game was against a sub-500 team. So we're trying to figure out how much everyone is buying into the new and improved Tampa Bay Bucs. Are you?
I'm buying into them, but I don't know if I necessarily am all that confident about, you know, as far as this game is concerned, because the Saints assault the pocket better than anyone against this team in particular. And by assault the pocket, I mean from guard to guard. If you watch the game down in Tampa Bay, where they absolutely just got bludgeoned, they were just destroying the interior of the pocket here, and Tom Brady looked as comfortable as he is, as uncomfortable as he has looked all season long. And Dennis Allen, the defensive coordinator, knows that. And so then when you start doing that, obviously the ball is going to come out quick, and the Saints are very good at playing man-to-man coverage, so that's going to be a problem. Then on the other side of the ball, how much has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary really matured and improved? Because they made a lot of mistakes in the second matchup that they had in this regular season. That's going to be a key also. So watch pass protection and then Buccaneer secondary play. Those will be the key components to this game.
All right, I'm going to hold you on that thought because I have the most exciting sentence in television. Adam Schefter has breaking news. Schefty, what do we have?
Well, Greeny, the Jacksonville Jaguars and Urban Meyer are in advanced talks to try to finalize a deal that would make Meyer the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. The two sides met again yesterday to try to finalize this deal. They are continuing to talk, and I'm told it's either Jacksonville or bust for Urban Meyer. There have been some other teams that have been connected to him. I'm told it'll be Jacksonville or it'll be nobody. He's going through his process. The Jaguars owner, Shad Khan, wanted to make sure that he's been thorough in his process. But we mentioned earlier in the show that a decision is expected earlier in this week at some point in time. I still think that that's the case. And I think that these two sides want to make sure that they're going forward in the right way, but they are in advanced talks. They have met multiple times, as recently as yesterday. And it looks like right now this is tracking to happen, though Urban Meyer is an unpredictable character. We have to say that because you never know exactly what's going to happen. But right now, this is moving forward.
Fascinating. Again, a reminder, the Jaguars have the first pick in the draft, which equals Trevor Lawrence. They have a lot of cap space. So it's easy to see why that might be an attractive place for Urban Meyer to make this jump. We will see. The very latest with Shefty, of course, all morning long. And we are just getting started on Get Up This Morning. Still to come, the decision in Chicago was one thing. The explanation was another. Wait until you hear why the owner of the Bears is bringing back his coach and his GM. And then talk about a nosedive. What should the Eagles do next now that Doug Peterson is gone? Can this mess be fixed? Shefty's got all the latest. This is Get Up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Get Up is brought to you by the United States Air Force. Experience more at airforce.com. Remember where you were 3 years ago today? Well, our Throwback Thursday reminds you that was the day this play took place. The Minnesota Miracle, if you were watching, you'll never forget it. One of the most astonishing moments we've seen in the NFL in a very long time. Stephon Diggs and the New Orleans Saints, both of whom will be right back in the middle of the action this weekend with one of the most memorable plays in NFL history. Meanwhile, we roll forward here on Get Up. Coming up next, the very latest on the James Harden trade of yesterday. And again, Shefty has the developing story. Urban Meyer to Jacksonville is getting close. The latest is next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
James Harden shipped away from Houston, now will be joining the Brooklyn Nets.
I am the man, you know what I'm saying, so leave it to me, because I get it first. We are the winning
team. James Harden, a flamethrower. We can do
anything. You have a 1-2-3, perhaps unlike we've seen in this league in the modern era.
James Harden putting on a show.
All right, Brooklyn, all of a sudden the place to be for basketball. And after this trade yesterday, the Nets' championship odds sit at 3-1, according to Caesars Sportsbook by William Hill, the second shortest in the sport, only behind the Lakers. Yesterday, after the Nets beat the Knicks, Kevin Durant was asked about reuniting with his former OKC teammate.
Looking into the past, what was it like to play with James? What do you remember about him as a teammate? Because you have played together.
It was fun.
Well, he didn't expand on that thought particularly interestingly, but here is the one and only Malika Andrews, who covers that team and all of them for us so well here at ESPN. How would you describe the expectations the Nets have now set up for themselves, Malika, putting together what they hope will at some point be this terrific trio?
Hey, well, he didn't expand very much. Kevin didn't, but I had to ask the question, right, Greeny? I think the Nets' expectations for this season, they haven't changed all that much from what they have been saying. Since day one, they've been pretty explicit. What they are setting out to do here is win a championship. And yes, that's the goal that every single team says at the beginning of the season, but for them, it feels much more realistic. And yesterday, when they were asked about that, they continued to say that that is what they are moving towards. Now it's going to be about making these guys gel, making these personalities gel, so they continue to move towards that goal. But really, that's where they feel that they are headed. But because the trade wasn't official, they didn't expand very much on how James Harden is going to fit into, or perhaps make it easier or push them closer to achieving that goal, Greeny.
Right. And so the process of gelling amongst the three superstars can't really begin until the third superstar is there. So you're around them as much as anybody is. Do you have any sense of where we are with Kyrie Irving and when we should expect him to come back?
Well, we know Adrian Wojnarowski and I reported that he is not expected to return to the team on Saturday against Orlando. But remember at this point, because the video of him apparently at a family birthday party is in the hands of the league, and they are reviewing whether or not that is a breach of their protocols that say that you cannot go to a bar if you're a player, you cannot go to a club if you're a player, you cannot be at gatherings of 15 or more people if you're a player. Because of that, they are the ones who are going to be dictating his return to the court schedule in many ways, because if he is to quarantine, if he is found to have broken those rules, that would further delay his return to the court. So that's where we're at right now, Greeny, is waiting for the league to make a decision on whether or not Kyrie Irving will need to quarantine before he can return, and then a timeline will become a little bit more clear.
Well, if there's one thing that is definitely clear, you are officially covering the most interesting team in the NBA, which means we'll be seeing a lot of you. Thank you very much, Malika Andrews, with the latest on the Brooklyn Nets, and we'll see what they become. Meanwhile, speaking of interesting, Adam Schefter just moments ago with the breaking news. In fact, if you're just joining us, I'll let him deliver it. Schefty, the very latest on Urban Meyer and the Jaguars.
Greeny, Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars are in advanced talks to see if they can finalize a deal. They met again as recently as yesterday to continue to try to get this deal hammered out. We'll see whether they can. Now, we should also put into context here that Urban Meyer has been a difficult coach to pin down. And we've seen many situations evolve in recent years where teams thought that they were getting close to a deal with a particular coach only to see that deal go by the wayside. And until Urban Meyer signs on the dotted line, it's not a deal. But the two sides clearly are highly interested in seeing if they could finalize this deal that would bring Urban Meyer to Jacksonville to what is right now the most attractive job opening in the NFL. And it's attractive because the Jacksonville Jaguars have the number one overall pick. They have 11 upcoming picks in the upcoming draft. They have over $100 million in salary cap space. They are in a no-tax state, which would be an enticement to all free agents. And so there could not be a better opportunity for Urban Meyer. At the same time, the Jaguars owner, Shad Khan, has been going through his process. And while everybody's thinking that Urban Meyer has been the one guy that they've been focused on, the Jaguars have gone about and done other interviews as well. Notably, Arthur Smith, the Titans offensive coordinator on Sunday night, and other candidates as well. And I think Shad Khan, as a minority, wants to be entirely respectful of the process and has been. But at this point in time, he is in advanced talks with Urban Meyer to see if these two sides can finalize a deal that would bring a man who's won three national championships across four stops to Jacksonville to try to help Jacksonville advance to the next level in the NFL.
Yeah, off the top of my head, that was Bowling Green, then Utah, then Florida, where he won two titles, and then he won one at Ohio State. He would try to become the fourth coach ever to win the national championship in college and win the Super Bowl. Pete Carroll, Barry Switzer, and Jimmy Johnson are the ones who have done that. So, Lewis, let me start with you. What do you think? Urban Meyer spent his entire life in college football. What would you think of that marriage, him going to Jacksonville?
Well, obviously, if you're going to make the jump from college to the pros, you want it to be a situation where you have a lot of capital at your disposal, whether it be from a salary cap perspective or a draft perspective, to really acquire as much talent as you possibly can. Because when you're someone who was a college coach, you're used to being able to control really the personnel on your football team largely, you know, by your own doing, meaning this, you can go out, as long as you are a great recruiter, you can go out and sell players on your program. You can get as many quote unquote first round prospects as you want if you have the facilities and you have the kind of program that players are attracted to. So it would make sense for a college coach to be attracted to a situation like Jacksonville, where it seems as though, you know, in the realm of team building in the NFL, they have everything at their disposal to go ahead and make a quick turnaround. So I understand the intrigue on his part. You know, he is someone who has been very successful at the college level. Now, the grind and the restrictions as you can do as far as your roster is concerned and whether or not you can actually get the players to come to your place in the NFL are much different than they are in college. So those kinds of pressures are much different. We'll see how it turns out and whether ultimately if it does turn out for him, he can be. There's been a lot of people who have tried it. Very few have been successful at it. So we'll have to wait and see.
That's right. Nick, I will come to you on that thought. The overwhelming majority of college coaches with no pro experience who've gone to the NFL have not succeeded. I just read you the ones who succeeded at the very highest level. What would be your biggest concerns about Meyer not having the NFL experience?
Nothing, frankly. I mean, the overwhelming majority of coaches don't succeed. Like, not very many coaches win Super Bowls. Not very many coaches last past their first deal. So I think it's just a really hard job. You need luck, and you need consistency, and you need a good staff. I think that would be the most concerning thing about bringing Urban Meyer on, considering the fact that he's been away from coaching for a little bit. It might be challenging for him to find the type of staff that he'll need to support him. But I think all the things that you said were true, and starting even with what Adam said about being successful across four stops, that was really, really impressive. And one of the reasons why he's one of the best coaches in the history of college football. But he went across four stops in part because that's who Urban Meyer is, kind of like Larry Brown in basketball. It feels like you want a long-term commitment from a guy like Urban Meyer. And for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to do that at two the stops. I understand not sticking around at Utah or Bowling Green, but Florida and Ohio State are programs that they're kind of last place destination stops for a lot of college coaches. So I'd be interested to see that him being a mile and a half from Gainesville, if he's going to end up staying in Jacksonville for a long time. If he does, I foresee him being successful.
Yeah, but Florida, Dominic, let me just say this.
Go ahead, Chetty.
There could not be a better situation for him to step into if he decides he wants to fully make the jump right now. This is the one that if he's going to take it, he's going to take it now. And what he struggled with at the college level, I believe, was that when he lost a game in a college football season, their season essentially was shot in terms of winning a national championship. There are not too many teams that lose a game in college football and go on to win the national championship. So at the NFL, he could lose a little bit more, and it wouldn't drive him as crazy as it did in the college level. So maybe there's some flexibility there, but there could not be a more attractive opening position for him to jump to if he was ever going to make that jump. And yes, he's begun assembling a staff, and he's bringing along some trusted assistants if he makes that jump. But he's preparing right now as if he would go, and we'll see whether he finally takes that last step to doing it.
And you just described the situation where you could really almost, he could mold the team in so many ways, like clay into a sculpture, because he has so much flexibility there with cap and et cetera. Damian Woody, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think I like the move, actually, for a couple of reasons. Number one, he's built the culture. He's been a proven winner. I mean, we talked about it, whether it's Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State. He's built the culture that's had those programs in winning positions. That's number one. And then number two, the fact that he's a college coach, he's been, you know, obviously been close to the game. He continues to be close to the game, being on the other network. I think he knows these college players. And so when it comes to, you know, the draft and having maybe some familiarity with these guys, that maybe might give him a little leg up in the whole process. Now, he has to build out a staff around him that'll help him out with the process. But I think, you know, when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars situation, having a clean slate with all those assets, whether it be draft capital and cap space, boy, he really can build something special down there.
I want to ask a quick question, Lewis, quickly. His offense, the offense that has made him a collegiate legend, has never been the quote-unquote traditional pro-style offense. Now, the NFL doesn't run the traditional pro-style offense the way it used to anymore either, but his quarterbacks have generally run the RPO and all of that. Is that a concern? Does the offense that he has always run to extraordinary success in college. You've seen his quarterbacks not go on to great success in the NFL, and maybe that's not causal, but maybe it is. Is that a concern for you, the offense he has always run?
Yeah, well, I think coaches need to continually evolve. Remember now, the offense that Nick Saban ran when he first got to Alabama looks nothing like the offense that he is running now and absolutely bludgeoning the competition with. So, you know, evolving as a coach is obviously important. Now, look, there are people who believe that when Ryan Day took over the offense at Ohio State, it expanded dramatically and became much more explosive and became much more of a downfield passing attack to really exploit the width and the length of a football field. So I think Urban would be smart enough to see that, you know, look, that the pro game is one where you have to continually be growing, especially in the passing game aspect of it, and be able to threaten people the entire length and width of the football field. And I'm sure that's something that he's thought about. And again, when you're talking about staff construction, I think that's something that a staff could help him with as far as understanding how you attack defenses in the NFL and what ultimately increases your efficiency and your ability to put points on the board.
All right, I got to leave it there for the moment, but we're coming back with much more on this. Again, Shefty working the story. Jacksonville and Urban Meyer, it appears they are close. We will see if that deal gets done. Meanwhile, what I know for sure is we have college basketball tonight on ESPN, and you're going to see the best team in the country. Number one, Gonzaga hosting Pepperdine. Top-ranked Zags leading the nation in scoring. They average a ridiculous 96 points a game. Our coverage tips 9 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Still to come here, back to the NFL, the Bears owner makes a decision, explains it, and just makes everything much worse. You'll hear it and make up your own mind as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
No fighter in UFC history has ever been champion in 2 weight divisions at the same time. It is all over! History has been made! Conor McGregor is the UFC lightweight champion!
Do not miss the next chapter in the career of the notorious Conor McGregor, UFC 257, Poirier versus McGregor 2, live from Fight Island, Saturday, January 23rd, 10 Eastern, on UFC pay-per-view exclusively on ESPN+. This is Get Up. Back to the NFL we go. The Bears are bringing back head coach Matt Nagy and general manager Ryan Pace, although neither will receive a contract extension. Yesterday, the Bears' chairman, George McCaskey, explained the decision, and in so doing, he left a lot of people asking the question, I'm sorry, what?
I was impressed with both of them this past season, especially during the 6-game losing streak. Have mistakes been made? Yes. But I think both Ryan and Matt are learning and growing in their roles. I want to take a moment to tell Bears fans, we understand your frustration. We're frustrated too. The decisions we're announcing today may not be the easiest or most popular, but we believe they're the best decisions for the Bears.
Hmm. D Wood, trying to read the look on your face. Go ahead, big fella.
Learning in their roles. The hell are you talking about? How many years they both been there? They've been there for like, what, four years at least? I mean, the Bears must love living in mediocrity. That's what it seems like to me, because Ryan Pace, both those guys, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, hasn't gotten the quarterback situation figured out. You know, you go out and you draft Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. That's always going to be an infamy in Chicago. Then once that wasn't work out, then you bring in Nick Foles thinking that he was going to, you know, run to the aid and be this big hero in Chicago. That didn't work. Okay, so you've had a couple bites at the apple trying to solve the quarterback position, and it just hasn't worked out at all. I don't know how many people get a couple bites at the quarterback position and still keep their jobs. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, I've covered the sport a long time, Dominique, and I've never heard anyone say they were impressed with the coach when he lost six consecutive games. That's not something I think...
At first listen, it sounds absurd, and I wish someone would have asked some follow-up questions to ask him specifically what he's talking about. But during a losing streak is when you really find out about people. So I don't think it's as absurd as it sounds, and I think sticking with them is a fair choice to make. While you say they had many bites at the apple, like, they drafted one quarterback. That quarterback, they got him to the Pro Bowl, and they went 25-13 with that quarterback, who we all recognize isn't that good. I think the Nick Foles decision was a good one. Hold on, let me finish. I'm not caping for Mitchell Trubisky. I am saying that the decision makes sense to me, which I think is impressive what they've done with Mitchell Trubisky in that time. It's not as if they don't know how to draft. Like, you can say Amos, Mooney, Coney, or Cohen, Montgomery, Smith. Like, they have drafted well. Their defense is second in the league over the past 3 years. They went to the playoffs twice. They haven't had a losing season. So I understand that Mitchell Trubisky was an enormous – that Mitchell Trubisky draft was an enormous mistake. But that is one poor decision from an organization that seems like they have a reasonable process. The Nick Foles attempt was an attempt. It was a wild swing. It didn't work out. That's what happens in football. So I respect the idea that one particular owner in this case is not just going on the whims and following the feelings of the fans and be like, oh, we lost. Throw everybody out. It's like, all right, we lost. Let's think about why we are losing.
Can I push back a touch on two of those thoughts?
Please.
One of them is they developed Mitchell Trubisky so well that they benched him this season while he had a winning record, and they didn't pick up his fifth-year option. And then the other is when you say that you find out about people during six-game losing streaks, I would think that during a losing streak, the coach's most important job would be to find a way to stop it as opposed to keeping everyone calm together. So those are the two parts of that I'm a little confused by.
Hey, Greeny, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Are the Bears, everybody knows their chief rival is the Green Bay Packers. Are they any closer competing with the Green Bay Packers? No, they're not.
Okay, so I think that Lewis probably has some good insight on this given his background, but I can't speak to you about what he showed during that six-game losing streak. But they did make the playoffs out of that. Like, I'm not in the building, but I do believe that you find out a lot more about people when things are going poorly than when things are going well. So I respect that as a statement, and I do think that I understand your point about Mitchell Trubisky. I think they overachieved with Mitchell Trubisky. They got Mitchell Trubisky to the Pro Bowl. They got to the playoffs with Mitchell Trubisky twice, and that decision was a bad decision. Trading up to get him was a bad decision. We all agree with that. But to me, that seems like one bad decision in a track record where it seems like they've built a really good roster outside of that. Picking a quarterback is a crapshoot. Firing every head coach and general manager that misses on picking a quarterback is ridiculously absurd, and we should not encourage it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, it's fair. Lewis, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think, first of all, if you go back to the decision, Matt Nagy wasn't there when that quarterback was drafted. That was Ryan Pace's draft pick. And I think we all know, relative to the other quarterbacks that were drafted in that draft, being Deshaun and Patrick, I mean, no kidding they messed it up. I mean, of course they did, all right? So, if any of those other two quarterbacks were on that roster, I would assume that they would be a much, much better football team. But see, here's the situation where this is the problem when you have GMs and head coaches who come in on different schedules, and then GMs are trying to protect their draft pick. Coaches maybe want to do something else. Coaches, you know, and they see that the writing's on the wall with back, and they don't necessarily, you know, the offense doesn't necessarily match. So then they try and figure out a way to improve the position. So they bring in Nick Foles. Matt had had experience with Nick Foles. The problem was Nick really couldn't move in the pocket. Their running game became non-existent. Their offensive line was horrendous. Maybe the worst in the NFL at different points in time in the season, in the middle part of the season, particularly when we did their games against the Rams and the Vikings. Their offensive line was horrible, and Nick, his play was below average to horrible as well. So then they go back to Mitchell Trubisky. They change the offense. It becomes much more San Francisco, LA Rams-like. A lot of move the pocket tackles, you know, throwing outside the pocket, changing the launch point, which really isn't what Matt Nagy does. So he's trying to piece it together. And Mitch just couldn't answer the bell. Look, I was a supporter of Mitch Trubisky. He didn't answer the bell. So now going into 2021, there's no doubt that they've got some issues. The offensive line is bad. It's terrible. They need more weapons on the perimeter. They just lost their defensive coordinator. The defense is getting older. So I'm sure when you look at those kind of things, bad quarterback play, can't run the football, don't have a lot of explosive weapons on the outside, Allen Robinson might leave, the defensive coordinator just left, the defense got worn out, people are going, blow it up, start over. Now, is there an argument for that? Maybe. There's also an argument for saying, we'll give you one more crack at it. They don't fix it in 2021, I promise you they're all gone.
That's what they gave him. They gave him one more crack at it. All right, look, it's a good discussion. It's not where I expected it to go, but I'm glad that we did it. Stay right there. We'll do Chronicles of Riddick a little bit later. This was worth staying with. And this will be worth watching. Our star-studded NBA Friday doubleheader on ESPN and the app. You're going to get Luka and the Mavs taking on Giannis and the Bucks. It's a great one. 7:30 Eastern, then the Pelicans with Zion squaring off against LeBron and AD and the Lakers. Coverage begins with NBA Countdown, 7 Eastern, Friday night. Here on ESPN. Coming up, the blockbuster in the league, Harden to Brooklyn. Is there a chance this trade will not work out? RJ and Woj with the latest next. Get up on ESPN.